The gift of spiritual language or speaking in tongues is controversial among church leaders. Some consider this gift to be outdated, taboo, and should even be non-existent in the modern local church, while others maintain this divine gift is essential for one's effectiveness in leadership and ministry in the 21st century. We believe the gift of supernatural language is for the church today. So, what is this gift? And are there any benefits to spiritual language? How can I receive and help others receive the gift of spiritual language? Today, we discuss these questions and more right here, right now, and only on the Five Gifts Podcast.
You're listening to the Five Gifts Podcast, a weekly show designed to equip leaders in the Spirit-filled church. I'm Bruce Ritter, and along with my co-host, Charles Russell, we offer insights for leading the local church in the fullest expression of Jesus. If you're interested in learning more about practical theology, the gifts of the Spirit, and spiritual disciplines, this is the show for you. Welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast. Welcome to the Five Gifts Podcast. We're coming to you a little later in the week due to some scheduling conflicts on Monday, but we're here with our third episode of Season 2. Charles, it's frigid in the central part of North Carolina where I am. I don't think we've had a high temperature outside the 20s in a few days, and we had a little snow last night that is going to linger for a while. I'm going to get warm enough for it to go very far, so that's our situation. What's happening up on the mountain?
It is cold, cold, cold with a capital C, let me tell you. I woke up to 13-degree weather, but the sun is up. It's out. It's a bright, beautiful day. It's a balmy 16 degrees here in western North Carolina, so I might work on my tan after our episode today, go outside and catch some rays. But it's a cold day, a few snow flurries yesterday, but no snow on the ground today. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's cold or hot, it's a beautiful sunny day, and so it's going to be a great one. So but the good news is we're inside and the heat's on. The heat works. The fireplace is going. And so it's a great day to have an episode of the Five Gifts Podcast. Today, we're talking about spiritual language. Some say that the gift of speaking in tongues. And so we're going to talk in depth about this beautiful gift that we hold dear. Bruce, you and I both have grown up in this Pentecostal tradition, and so this is something that we hold dear, we hold closely to us.
Absolutely. I was going to say, that's context for who we are, that we are Pentecostal. We don't make a point to argue and win our side. This is not a debate podcast. We're not here to defend our theology. We can, but we don't want to use this platform for that. We want to empower spiritual leaders in the spirit-filled church. So, Charles, I absolutely agree. Yeah. I absolutely agree with you.
Yeah. You know, and there's a lot of, as we said in the opening, a lot of controversy, maybe even confusion about spiritual language, about speaking in tongues. To me, it's funny. It may not be funny to anyone else, but it always takes me back to when I was in high school, and I was I was in Spanish class one day, and a friend sat in the desk right in front of me, and we had a break or something during class, and I don't know how this topic came up. Maybe it was before class. We were just kind of talking. Anyway, he turns around and we're talking. He's asking me questions about church. They all knew I was a pastor's kid, and all my friends knew, kind of my stance on things. And so anyway, they knew the kind of church that I attended. And so he turns and says, "Hey, Charles, don't you go to one of those Pentecostal churches?" And I said, "Yeah, I sure do." And he says, "Y'all do that speaking in tongues?" And I said, "Yeah, we do that in our church." He says, "What about you?" He says, "Can you do that speaking in tongues?" And I was like, "Yeah, I speak in tongues." He says, "Go ahead, do it right now." He said, "Come on, can you do it right now?" And I said, "Well, I guess I could." I said, "I'm not going to." And it always brings a brings a chuckle. It just makes me laugh. The kind of conversations and the kind of emotions that are attached to these kind of dialogues that we have, when especially around the gift of speaking in tongues. And so, Bruce, we believe the scripture has a lot to say about tongues and about this precious gift that, again, that we hold dear to who we are as believers. So why don't you get us, jump us off here, Bruce. What's the Bible say about tongues, and is it even a part of a valid Christian experience today?
Sure. Well, the idea of tongues, what I prefer to call it, is spiritual language, mm-hmm. or praying in the spirit. It really isn't a new thing. Of course, the Bible does deal with it extensively in the New Testament. Even the Apostle Paul had to bring some correction and instruction about it in his day. In fact, in his letter to the church in Corinth, he was dealing with people who were quite confused about it, confused about how to apply it in the church, how to use it, how frequently to use it. But still, the Bible teaches us that it is an expression of speaking. And primarily, I believe it's an expression primarily in prayer. It's not the only expression, but that is one of the primary applications of it. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2, of course, Paul says, "He who speaks in a tongue is not speaking to men, but to God." You know, when you become a Christian, you receive the Holy Spirit as a personal helper or counselor. In fact, Jesus described the Holy Spirit's ministry quite a bit in the Gospel of John. And in fact, I like to think of the Gospel of John as quite involved when it comes to what Jesus teaches about the Holy Spirit. And so in John chapter 14 through 16, he spends a lot of time describing the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And if you look at it, it's in context with Jesus departing and the Holy Spirit being present, you know, with us in various applications of ministry to us. He's the one who draws us to Jesus. He helps us to worship him. He makes us a better person, in the sense that we're people that are becoming more and more like Christ because of the work of the Holy Spirit in us. And that really should characterize a person who has the Holy Spirit, especially those who practice spiritual language. I get a little miffed as a Pentecostal charismatic when people like to think of the experience without seeing a lot of focus on their own life change, because that really is why the Holy Spirit is living within us. He should be making us more like Jesus. And so if you're a tongue speaker, then I definitely believe there should be the fruit of Christ likeness in our life. You know, the activity of the Holy Spirit is not just the Holy Spirit as an individual member of the Trinity. I really believe that act of God's work in us is the activity of the full Trinity. The Father gives the Holy Spirit. Jesus is our baptizer. He's the one that baptizes us with the Holy Spirit. And of course, the Holy Spirit is the one who empowers us when he's present in our lives. As far as tongues, though, I think we have to recognize that it's a verbal gift. It's a gift exercised in speech, and uses our capacity to vocalize, whether it's singing or speaking or praying. And the Bible has a couple of interesting descriptions about it. Of course, I think we all go to Acts chapter 2, verse 4. It says, "They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." And there's a couple of words there that I think it's important to note. Number one, they began to speak in tongues. Well, the word for tongues there is the Greek word glossos. That's basically a body of words. It's a language. It's a systematic use of, you know, specific words or vocabulary that make up a distinct language. And so the Bible distinguishes between spiritual language and prayer and our native language of prayer. In fact, you know, I believe there's over 6,000 languages spoken in the world. It's impossible. Even the most expert linguist can't recognize them all. So, you know, when someone is using their prayer language, they're speaking in tongues. I don't think an expert linguist could really examine and discern which language it is. But what we do have is the instruction of God's word to inform our experience. And so when we exercise spiritual language given by the Holy Spirit, it's not meaningless. It's very significant, despite the fact that it's not understood by everyone. The second phrase in that passage of Acts 2:4 is that the Spirit gave them the utterance. In other words, they spoke as the Spirit was working in them. And the word for utterance is rather unique because it is an oral expression. It's not something that is thought. It's something that is expressed vocally. And the focus is on the verbalization rather than the content. And so it does mean to speak out, to declare, but it was also came to be known as a message that was given to a person, whether it was in a letter format or word of mouth. And that message was not an utterance until the person spoke it to the audience that it was designated to reach. So again, it's a gift that's exercised in speech. Now we could talk on and on today about when does a person receive their prayer language. And of course, in the Bible, people receive spiritual language when they're baptized in the Spirit. I've seen this happen. Charles, you've seen this happen. It is experience. It's not just a theological idea. However, since a person receives the Holy Spirit when they're born again, we could say that it's a gift available to them of becoming a Christian. You know, as traditional Pentecostals, we usually tie tongues with baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I'm fully on board with that. But also recognize that we often tend to, you know, develop our theology out of our experience. And so, but if we're saying that someone has the Holy Spirit when they're born again, there really is no reason to delay asking God to fill us. Spiritual language was available to everyone on the day the church was born, and it's still a promise of the Father in our Christian experience. So Charles, you know, since we've talked about this being a part of the Christian experience, that any believer that is born again can receive the Spirit's gifting in their life through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Is there any real benefit to praying with spiritual language?
Absolutely. There's a lot of great benefits to spiritual language, to this gift. You know, along with addressing some of the abusive church practices, and let's be honest, we'll be the first to admit there are abuses of this gift, but along with addressing some of those abusive church practices, especially regarding the public use of tongues, Paul, you know, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 14, he describes the practical benefits of private devotional spiritual language, the exercise of this gift in private devotions. Again, you know, Scripture gives us guidance. 1 Corinthians 14, as Paul talks about practical benefits of spiritual language in prayer. A few things he talks about that benefit us. Spiritual language enables us to speak to God. What an incredible benefit that we are able to speak to God. Verse 2, Paul says, "He who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him." Speaking to God in a spiritual language is not the only way we speak to Him, but it is a privileged benefit by which we gain intimacy with God, and by which the Holy Spirit empowers us to serve others. The Lord, preciously and personally, He loves each of us in a way that is distinctive and is unique and specific to us individually. And so when we pray in the Spirit, we are speaking only to God. You know, while we don't know what we're saying, we do know who we are speaking to. So as well as there's a sense of what our heart feels toward our God that we love and who loves us. So as the Holy Spirit enables us to speak beyond words that we know. You know, I've experienced this in times that I don't know the words to say. Sometimes I pray in my English language, in my Southern English language, that, you know, and I exhaust my vocabulary, because as we are finite, we are limited there. We all reach kind of the dead end road, you know, if at some point, and it's in those moments I began to pray in the Holy Spirit. I began to pray in this supernatural language, and it is speaking to the heart of God. It is praying in a language that is given by the Holy Spirit, and it is speaking directly to God. Scripture talks to us about praying in that kind of that perfect will of God, and so this is a powerful benefit of the gift of tongues, the gift of spiritual language. We are in this divine communication. We're speaking directly to God, and it is a love language, because again we understand the love that God has for us as His children, and again we may not directly know and understand exactly what we are praying and what we are saying, but it is in an attitude and a posture of love toward our Heavenly Father. We are reaching out and we are praying to Him with an attitude of love and adoration. So this divine communication is couched. It is couched in love. And so what a great benefit to be able to speak, to be able to communicate with our God who loves us in such a deep and profound way. Another benefit: spiritual language equips us with insights that we previously may not have understood. Again, the Apostle Paul, verse 2, there in Corinthians, however, in the Spirit, He speaks mysteries. He speaks mysteries. The word mysteries is not talking about, you know, peculiar things, but rather is addressing God's truth being brought into the light. It may be fresh to our minds, but it's not going to be different from what's in Scripture. You know, Scriptures are standard. We hold everything to the revelation of Scripture that is before us. And so to us, a mystery is something that we can't figure out. That's what we would probably liken a mystery to. But in the Greek language, and I'm not going to try to pronounce Greek words for you. It sounds like Gomer Pyle trying to speak Greek, so I'm going to skip that. But in the Greek language, you know, it's an insight or revelation that's revealed to us. So it doesn't remain hidden. The mysteries of God. That's a benefit of this gift of spiritual language. The mysteries of God being revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. Spiritual language, third benefit, spiritual language will edify those who practice it. Verse 4, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, builds himself up. When we pray with spiritual language, it's like a spiritual boost for ourselves. That doesn't mean that we're not also passionate about helping others, but praying the Spirit personally edifies us and can prepare us to better serve others. This is what Scripture says. It says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. That was Jude chapter 1, verses 20 through 21 in the New King James Version. Jude, he follows that up with reminding us to be kind to the lost and reach out to those who are at risk of losing their way and finding life in Jesus. The use of our prayer language is a chance to welcome the Holy Spirit who comes alongside to help us. He's like our encourager our comforter. He refreshes us when we pray in the Spirit. There's no way to explain how He gives us such encouragement and strength when we pray in the Spirit. He just does. And that is a comfort and a strength to me as I'm growing in my relationship and growing in this gift of supernatural language, that that the Holy Spirit, he comes along beside us. He comes along beside us. Scripture talks about the Holy Spirit as our paraclete, comes along and he comes beside of us. He comes and he advocates for us. He's with us. There's strength in that. And so this gift of spiritual language, as it is a gift of comfort. It is a gift of strength. It, when we pray in the Spirit, it is a means by which we are built up. We are edified as the Holy Spirit comes alongside of us as our advocate, as the one who stands with us in. And who advocates for us against the accuser of the other brethren, if you will. It is this comforting, it is this strengthening, and we are built up, we are edified, we are fortified and strengthened through the use of this gift of spiritual language. Ruth, there's other advantages, other benefits to using spiritual language in prayer. What are some other benefits you could offer us today?
Well, I will, but I just want to chime in on that last point, and all the points were just phenomenal. But I think when you mentioned that, you know, he who speaks in a tongue, there's the edification that comes from that. And, you know, coming off the passage you quoted out of Jude, you know, the building ourselves up, you know, we are fully Pentecostal, but we know there are dozens, hundreds of forms of prayer. And certainly we've been big advocates for praying scripture. We've done podcasts on that. Please go back and look at those. But you know, we talk about when we pray scripture, we pray in the language of God's agenda and activity. Mm-hmm. And I think praying in the Spirit does that as well. It keeps us centered in, you know, what is the mind and the heart and will of our Father. And that's where I think the building up comes, because we're praying in alignment with the Spirit and the Father and the Son. But I think there's that connection where the Holy Spirit, his capacity that he's given us to pray in spiritual language, there's an aligning that takes place. And again, how do we explain that? I don't. I just try to take the scripture for what it says. Yeah. And that's what's happening when I do. I think maybe one way you ask, is there another benefit? Well, I don't know if it's another benefit. I think it's part of what you already shared. But man, I think when we pray in tongues or pray in spiritual language, we're expanding the capacity of our praise and intercession. That's what Romans 8:26 tells us. We don't know everything to pray. We don't know how to pray over issues. We don't know how to even maybe articulate what we're needing from the Lord when we pray. But verse 26 says, but the Spirit makes intercession for us. So I believe that when we pray in a prayer language, that the Holy Spirit is praying through us. We don't maybe even understand what we're praying. We can't. It's a language that we don't know. But the Holy Spirit is engineering, you know, that time of prayer and intercession with the Father. And you know, I think praise too. Praise is a powerful weapon when the Holy Spirit is praying through us to fight against darkness. It's like a weapon in our battle against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. But you know, the Bible does tend to tell us that sometimes when we don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit knows exactly what the Father wants, what the Father desires and wills, and he helps us pray exactly that way, even if we can't articulate it in our native language. I think the bottom line is that you know, most understand that Jesus teaches us to pray to the Father. That's the Lord's Prayer. Everyone recognizes that, our Father in heaven. Well, it's the Holy Spirit who is the Spirit of adoption. And so in Galatians 4, Romans 8, you know, we learn that it's the Holy Spirit that is crying within us, Abba, Father, not just as a witness of our salvation, but as a witness of our relationship with God the Father. And I think that's one thing that's happening inside of us when we pray in the Spirit. We're calling upon the goodness of our Father, and we call with assurance. It's the Holy Spirit saying, He's your Father, He's your Abba. And I think we follow His lead when we pray in that way. Charles, let's say there's a viewer watching us, and they're wanting to receive and exercise the gift of spiritual language. Or maybe there's a leader who's listening to us, and they're wanting to know, what's the best way to lead someone in receiving that experience? What if we close our time today by talking about, maybe answering the question on that issue, how can I begin to receive and exercise my prayer language?
Yeah, absolutely. I'll go first. How okay. about that? I think I'm going to give some deep and heavy theological methods and ways here. And, you know, this might be too weighty for most people to do, but I'm going to take a chance that maybe someone will exercise this. I would say the first thing and the most critical thing that we have to do, again, prepare yourself to receive this profound revelation. What we have to do is we have to simply ask. We just ask. Ask our Heavenly Father for the gift and let Jesus fill you. It's not hard. We complicate this, and we come up with our formulas and our methods, and some people, you know, we're trying to bargain with God, and we're trying to negotiate for the gift and trying to achieve and elevate ourselves to do all these things that, you know, as humans, we just tend to complicate things that God tries to make simple. It's a gift. This is a gift of supernatural language. And, you know, I think it's in scripture somewhere. I think I've read it or heard it somewhere. If we, you know, that know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more does God
Amen.
Want to give and bestow gifts to us as His children? It's a gift. And we've talked about how our Father, how much He loves us. And in this loving relationship, God wants to pour out His gifts to us as His children. So I think the first place to begin is just to kind of get all the complicated clutter mm-hmm. out, try to get that out of our mind, quiet ourselves, just get in a comfortable place and just ask. Just, it's as simple as that,
yeah.
asking for the gift, mm-hmm. and just having enough faith that Jesus is there to fill you.
Yeah.
Jesus is our baptizer. And so, man, it's not complicated. It's not hard. And it's not something that we have to work up to and conjure up and stand on our right leg while we raise our left hand and pat our head and rub our belly at the same time and do all these things. It's just asking, you know, God, I want to know you. And, in my understanding of scripture, my understanding of our relationship with God is that to know God is to experience Him. Knowing God is an experienced faith. And so to know Him is to experience Him. So God, I want to know you. I want to experience you in the fullness of who you are. I'm asking for what we would call the baptism in the Holy Spirit. The evidence of speaking in tongues. And so, God, I'm asking you for the gift of spiritual language, because we know that this gift, it is a gift of love. It is a gift of language. So it gives us communication capabilities with God that we've already talked about. It brings an empowerment and anointing mm-hmm. for service, to serve others. All these things that we've talked about, and it's simply, God, I'm just asking. I know that you love me. I know that I love you. And so I'm asking, in this love relationship, would you bless me with this gift? I want to know you in the fullness of who you are. Jesus would fill me. So we ask. That was a lot of words and a long time to simply say, just ask.
But, I think it's common, though, for us to get caught up in the experiences of seeing how other people are filled with the Holy Spirit, and that maybe that becomes a, at least in our minds, it becomes a template for what our experience should look like. And now listen, people get filled with the Holy Spirit in church services and revival services, at conferences, mm-hmm. at camps, in small groups, mm-hmm. and you know, your experience with that, I want to recognize their viewers, and you may be at a point of frustration because those experiences haven't brought you to that personal receptivity, to that personal experience with the Holy Spirit. And I think, you know, we want to encourage you. What Charles is saying is absolutely true. Ask the Father. It's the Father giving you the gift. It's Jesus filling you. There's not a requirement for you to be in a specific service with a specific activity going on, whether it's an altar call or you know, some kind of intense worship. And, you know, the person that's maybe praying with you, they don't have to manipulate anything. They don't have to manipulate you. They don't have to manipulate God. This is a transaction between you and your Father. So ask Him for it and let Jesus fill you. Charles, what would you add to that? I think it might be helpful to share somewhat of our own experiences. I know my experience. When I heard you sharing that, I thought, you know, my experience with the Lord, when I received the gift of tongues, that was very personal for me. And it happened in a way that I had not seen other people filled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I absolutely. I know for me personally, I was a child. I was, I think, around 8 or 9 years old in our, what we call children's church, kids' church, you know, in our children's church service. And our teacher, you know, the pastor teacher of our children's ministry had been teaching on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And she provided space in that children's service and asked, you know, who would like to receive this gift. And we just had even in the mind of a 9-year-old child, you know, we just had a powerful time of prayer. I mean, I don't think I described it that way in that moment, but now as an old man, as an old grumpy curmudgeon, you know, just looking back, what a powerful time of prayer and altar ministry, and multiple kids that day, of my peers in that children's meeting, receiving the gift of spiritual language, baptism of the Holy Spirit, that has marked my life from age 9 till till now. I'm a 50-year-old man, and all that time in between, being able to, all these benefits we've talked about today, that the gift of spiritual language brings, being able to live that out from a 9-year-old now to a 50-year-old, yeah. Being able to grow in that relationship and being able to grow in that knowing and that experiencing Christ, that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. What an experience! What a life of knowing God. I've been blessed to enjoy because of that encounter as a 9-year-old of growing deeper in my faith, taking those next steps in my relationship with Christ. It has made a profound impact on my life. Doesn't mean that I've been perfect by any means. But it has marked me in eternal ways that I probably won't know the full impact of until we're in heaven, you know. So man, I just wanted to take a moment to thank God, praise God for his gift of supernatural language that has marked my life. That has imprinted my life. with the character and nature of Christ through the gift of spiritual language. Yeah, that, I mean, that's my testimony.
Well, my testimony is getting along with God when I was in college, my dorm room. I mean, I had an experience, I think it was the Sunday before I responded to an invitation, went forward, had someone, you know, counsel me and lead me in praying and receiving. They prayed with me. And I think believe something happened in that moment. But, you know, for me, it was real, just getting along with the Lord in my own dorm room and believing, you know, that God really did want to fill me, and having that moment of just, I turned on some worship music, got on my knees, just began to lift my voice in praise, ask God for his infilling. And I wanted to know beyond any shadow of a doubt. And it was in that moment that the Holy Spirit came and I received and began to think for the next 20, 30 minutes, just begin to pray in that language. And you know, now I don't say that, Charles. I know you're not saying that has to be everyone's mode of experience. Mm-hmm. But I think what we're pointing out is that this really is, again, it's a transaction between you and your Heavenly Father. I believe the Holy Spirit desires to give us more of his presence, even more than we desire to receive it. And
absolutely.
So let Jesus fill you. So certainly that.
And I agree with you. Let Jesus fill you, and let Jesus fill you in his time and in his way. Our responsibility, our part in this is to seek him.
Yeah.
Is to seek him. He's the giver of the gift. So seek the giver. Seek the Lord and all of him.
Amen.
And in his time, Jesus is our baptizer. So let him fill you in his time and in his way. Don't grow frustrated and weary because you've not received this gift in the way or in the fashion or in the manner or in the timing that you feel like should have happened. Don't grow exhausted in that. But grow stronger because your pursuit of Christ is not just for the gift. Your pursuit is to receive Christ. Your pursuit is for God. And as you pursue him, he fills us with these gifts. And so, Bruce, I know you've had this experience. We've led services where people have been baptized in the Holy Spirit in the services. In fact, at a church I was pastoring, I had Bruce come to do, we did what we called a Holy Spirit weekend. And we had people that were baptized in the Holy Spirit in the services. But I had people that I knew had been praying and asking for this gift who do not receive in some of those services. But they, I know one, I'm thinking of one particular person who did not receive in that kind of Friday night encounter service that we did. And they were a little despondent. They were a little disappointed because of that. But they came to the next morning, and Saturday was a day of teaching. They were so excited, and there was a smile, and there was a joy and an energy to them. Their whole mood had shifted. And I said, "Well, what's happened? What's taken place? Pastor, you just won't believe it. I was so disappointed when I left last night, but this morning, as I was taking a shower, God baptized me. God filled me with his gift." Mm-hmm. So it's just, other people have said, driving down the road, God filled me with his Spirit. Now, I'm not encouraging anyone to ask for the gift of the Holy Spirit while you're in traffic and driving. We're just saying, pursue Christ, pursue Jesus, ask him to fill you, and then allow him to fill you in his time, in his way, and enjoy the pursuit. Enjoy the pursuit. Don't let the gift become the destination. Let Jesus be the destination.
Yeah.
And in your pursuit of him, enjoy the gifts that he fills your life.
Amen.
So, anyway. Bruce, any other advice that you would give to us?
Yeah, I would. I want to encourage you when you're receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit, when you're asking the Father for that, remember to use your voice. One of the clear examples in Scripture of responding to the Holy Spirit's activity is to begin with your voice, whether it's prayer, praise, prophesying, and that including tongues. Again, just look at the Scriptures and look how many times that when the Holy Spirit was present, people began to exercise their verbal ability. And I think it's common for me in people's experience. It was true. It was true for me. It's true of other people that have been asking for the gift of the Holy Spirit in their own life, is to somehow, you know, resign to a point where thinking the Holy Spirit is just going to take over and begin to, you know, kind of take control, and I'm going to be under his control, and he's going to have to, I don't know, bring the breath over my vocal cords and make something happen. No, there's a partnership going on. The gift is yours to speak, but you have to speak. Charles, I think there are a lot of people that are baptized in the Holy Spirit, just don't know it yet, because they haven't spoken, because they haven't used their voice. So I would encourage you, when you're asking the Lord for that, just use your voice, exercise, pray in your own language, and praise God in your native language. But at a point, begin to trust the Lord and allow him to pray through you. And again, I struggle to put words on that experience, because I don't want to lead anyone astray based on my experience. But I think you'll find that the more confident you are in God's desire to fill you, then the more freer you are to use your voice. But clearly, use your voice. Exercise your voice. Let sound come out of your mouth again. Start with your own praises and ask and pray in your own language, but begin to allow the Holy Spirit to change that in you, and he will.
Absolutely. So yeah, you use your voice. Lift your voice. Allow this gift to be released through your voice. As we're kind of wrapping up the episode today, I just would like to take time. Bruce, would you be willing to pray?
Sure.
Just for our viewers, and pray for our podcast, our episode, that if there are people that are listening or watching that want to move into this gift to receive, would you just
Sure.
take a moment and pray and ask that the Lord would help us to just position and posture ourselves to receive.
Sure.
And give us faith to ask and faith to receive.
Sure. Let's pray. Father, you've given us the gift of your Spirit. And in the Old Testament, Lord, you reserve that for kings and prophets. But in Jesus, your Spirit is poured out on all flesh. God, I believe for our sons, our daughters, but also us. And so I pray for any listener today that is desiring to be filled with the Holy Spirit. They're just pursuing Jesus, and they want more of God's presence in their life, more of his activity in their life. They want to be more conscious of what he's doing around them and what he desires to do through them. I pray, Father, you would bring them to a point of recognizing that you desire to fill them. You desire to pour out your Spirit. Father, you're our uncompromised, unrivaled, and incomparable Heavenly Father. And your love for us goes deeper than we can fathom. Father, pour out your Spirit. You're listening to us today. Just ask the Lord, God, make me receptive, more receptive. And I'm asking you for the fullness of your Spirit. And God, I thank you that you are desiring to do this more than we're desiring to receive even. But we pray, God, for those moments of receptivity to your presence and power. God, we pray for your fullness in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Wow. Well, thank you, Bruce, for praying. And thank you today for tuning in and for listening. We hope you have enjoyed this episode as we've talked about the gift of supernatural language. If you've been impacted by this episode, or you feel the Holy Spirit impacting your life and moving you into the gift of spiritual language, leave a comment. Let us know. Let us know your experience as you are moving forward into this Christ life that God is leading us into and leading us through. So thanks for joining us today on the Five Gifts podcast. Please remember to like, follow, subscribe, and share. Do all the things. Hit all the buttons. And help us continue to spread the ministry of the Five Gifts podcast. Just another note to mention to you, we're beginning to form up an educational opportunity for people active in ministry to obtain a bachelor's, master's, possibly even a doctorate. The format includes in-person instruction, coaching, and mentoring. It will be in a small group atmosphere, and you can complete the degree in 2 years. If you're interested, contact us at fivegiftspodcast@icloud.com. Also, our website is fivegifts.org. You can visit that website and stay aware of all the things happening through this ministry. You can reach out to Bruce individually at coachingcardia.com. You can find me at charlesrussellministries.com and charlesrusselltraining.com. Well, that's all for today. We will see you next week right here on the Five Gifts Podcast.
You've been listening to the Five Gifts Podcast. If you would like to take the next step as a spiritual leader, we invite you to visit either of our websites or contact us for leadership coaching. We can help you reach the next level in your own growth and leadership. We provide leadership, spiritual gift, and personality assessments that give you a better grasp of your leadership style. And we also create a customized growth plan that empowers you to reach your full kingdom potential. We can't wait to hear from you.